know who it belongs to. So they counted up, what's the worth of all those gold coins? And the man went from basically not having a whole lot, now he is worth $10 million. After I read that story, I walked my woods. I mean, if nothing else, Gloria might have buried something, so I thought I'd look, but no, none. Nothing back there, but say what? Everything's in the pump room, yeah. No, there's other rooms and stuff too. $10 million. Can you imagine? Your life changes completely. So we're looking at some parables, and we're going to look at Matthew 13 at a similar story, two similar stories. And again, as we mentioned before, this is on the day that's called the busy day, that Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee, cast out a couple demons, and then he begins to talk to the crowds, and he got in a boat because he needed to get out a little bit, and he's speaking to all them, and he gets into these two parables from Matthew 13. Begin reading in verse 44, and they're short. But it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Now, this is not as weird as you would think. There were no banks then. There were money changers, but they didn't keep your money. They took your money, okay? They would exchange money, but it wasn't like a bank. There was no place to put your money. And there were constant invasions and people fighting and bad neighbors and everything else. So one of the things people would commonly do if they had any money was to bury it. This was a common thing. Sometimes they would die and nobody knew it was there and someone else found it later. So people related to this. They understood this happening. But it was hidden in a field, which a man found. So this man, he was in this field, it didn't belong to him, but he found it and he hid it. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Smart man. Now, he could have just took it, I guess, but he did. He did hide it. He went out and bought the field, and once he bought the field, it was legally his. You can't steal blessings. It was legally his, but he had to sell everything to get the one thing. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And pearls back then were more important and more expensive than even gold. And there were different kinds because they were so expensive. You know, you had to risk your life. They didn't have diving equipment. You had to dive down into deep water, hold your breath, right, and find one of those clams and bring it up, open it up, and see if there's a pearl in there. And you dived again, and you died. A lot of people died that way looking for this. So pearls were very precious. So he's looking for beautiful pearls because there's different qualities of pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl, of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Because even that one pearl was worth more than all that he had. Oh, praise him. Thank you, Jesus. I like what Jesus said. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine, right? They're precious. They're important. And he uses this as a parable to describe what the kingdom is like. Now, first of all, I want to make one thing really clear. You cannot buy your salvation. Come on, I'll wait on a good amen. So what is this buying your way into the kingdom. From the Passion Translation, Psalm 49, they trust in their treasures and boast in their riches, yet not one of them, though rich as a king, could rescue his own brother from the guilt of his sins. I don't care how much money you have. You can't save yourself. You can't save anyone else. No one could give God the ransom price for a soul of another, let alone for himself. A soul's redemption is too costly and precious for anyone to pay with earthly wealth. The price to pay is never enough to purchase eternal life, for even one to keep them out of hell. A soul's redemption is too costly and precious for anyone to pay with earthly wealth. The price to pay is never enough to purchase eternal life, for even one to keep them out of hell. Woo! Come on, Psalmist David. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here, there it is. You've been saved by grace, but you were saved for good works. You weren't saved to sit on your duff. I know, what's a duff? Never mind. What you sit on. Jesus. It is the gift, but we are his workmanship. We are created for good works. There's something that needs to be done. Wow, wow, wow. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wow. In Matthew 19, you okay with the word? Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, well, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about the eye of the needle and the thread. But there was a small gate in the city called the eye of the needle because it was a very small gate, one of these big ones. In fact, it was so small that if you had a camel or mule behind you and you had the bags on the side, you know, you're carrying something, you had to take the bags off to get the animal through the gate. So that's what he was saying. You can't get through the eye of, listen, you can't get through the eye of the needle with your stuff. I'm waiting for Gloria to say an amen, but no. There's no hope for us. There's no hope. You know, we laugh, but anytime we need something, we know where to go. We know who has it. But Gloria says, I'm getting older now. I'm forgetting where I put things, you know. All right, enough on Gloria. My gosh. Oh, I'm going to get it when I get home. No, no, no. I know. That's going to be a rough one there. Jesus, amen. But we know we didn't throw it away. We know that. Ooh. You never know. We might have another boy, you know, so we hung on to it. This sermon would be a complete flop if Gloria wasn't here. This would be I really needed her. All right. Where was I? Yes, eye of the camel. And that pretty well sums it up. The only way to get to heaven is to get rid of everything you got. Salvation is free. But if you want to activate it, you've got to give up everything you got to make it work. Oh, you're going to get quiet on me now. Salvation is free. But if you want to walk in the power of it, there's a heavy price. You can't have all your stuff in your heart and still be activated in the kingdom of heaven. You need to be connected. I was reminded when we built our house 25 years ago, the Amish built it. And I remember the foundation going down. I remember them digging the hole out and up go the walls. It was so exciting. And they filled it in, put a roof on it, and everything was done. But then I remember that day very distinctly that they hooked up the electric and the phone. The Amish had to bring in help for that. But anyway, they... And all of a sudden, I felt like my house was alive. My house was now not just a building, but it was connected to the world. Now people can call me. I regretted that later. I could turn lights on. I could heat it. I can air condition it until the tub falls on the water. But you understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, I walked in the house, and there was power. It wasn't just a building anymore. It had power. There comes a time in your life where you're kind of that empty building. You're saved on your way to heaven, but you still need to get that connection made where the power comes on, and you can call him up. Tell them what you want. Another old song you don't remember. Okay. I've been around too long. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Philippians 3 says our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we really need to get this in our spirit. You're not, first of all, U.S. citizens. You are, first of all, citizens of the kingdom. And you have fellow citizens all over the world. I've been thinking, then they sang that song today. I've been thinking about how blessed I've been. I keep track, and I guess I've been to 37 countries now in the world. 37 countries on 4 or 5 continents, been all over the world. I've lived a blessed life. But I don't care where you go, something always connects when you meet another believer who doesn't even speak your language. You can't even talk to him, but there's an immediate connection. I know what I'm talking about. I've been all over the world. And there's that connection. So we have something amazing in common. Our lives are completely different. We live in completely different cultures, but we share Jesus. And that's bigger than you think it is. We are citizens first of the kingdom of heaven. U.S. next, Japan next, Africa next, South America next. But first of all, everyone in this room, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Ah, glory to God. Woo! Get it in your spirit. Get it in your spirit. Wow, hallelujah. Luke 17, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, when is this kingdom going to come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So every time you come up with a believer, you're on kingdom territory. In fact, you're always on kingdom territory because it's in you. Every time we come together, we bring the kingdom into this room. Oh, isn't God good? All right, that was my introduction. 5 quick points. How many will stay with me? 5 points in 5 minutes. Lord, lack of faith in the house. 10. How many? Give me 10. Give me 10. Give me 15. Give me 15. 15. Give me 15. 15. Citizenship is priceless and has a high cost. 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. You have an inheritance, folks. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You have an inheritance. Well, my grandson Jack the other day, it was something he wanted that we had. Oh, yeah, the guitar I have. I don't play it, but I have this guitar. It's glorious guitar. I don't know where it came from. But we have this guitar, and Jack knew about it, and he's wanting to learn guitar, so he asked for the guitar. Gloria wouldn't give it to him. And, right? You're not, well, we can't right now, but, you know, he wanted it. But then he said, so he couldn't get it right away, and he said, well, that's all right. I'll get it in the inheritance. What is he, 8 years old, and he's already thinking about his inheritance? Oh, my God. Boy, sharp, I tell you. That's why every time he comes to the house, he's looking everywhere. He's opening tubs, you know. That's my boy. That's my boy. Number two, it's priceless, right, and has a high cost. Number two, you need to understand this thing is hidden. It's in you. It's not an open thing. It's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God, say, but God. But God, see, it kind of sounds like we won't know till we get to heaven. But then he says, but God has, past tense, has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God lives in me. I know some things, and you know some things, because the Spirit lives in you. 1 Corinthians 2, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. If you're not saved, you don't get it. You don't understand it. You don't even know why those crazy people get together every Sunday. It doesn't make sense. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Not will, have the mind of Christ. His Spirit lives in us. Number three. You need to understand this thing is personal. Personal. We're not saved in groups. We're not, you know, back in the colonial days, they would go into a town and the chief would get saved, and then everyone had to get saved. You know, whatever the chief does. No, this thing is personal. It's one by one. You had your moment with God when you were brought into the kingdom of God. Paul talks about this in Romans 2. He said, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. We're all Jews. Ooh, come on. We're all part of the promise that God gave to the Jewish nation, it's now extended to the church. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Number four. Y'all didn't think I could do it, did you? Well, we ain't done yet. Number four, it brings, maybe five, it's five. It brings real joy. Matthew 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Giving God your everything ought to bring you joy, not sadness. I mean, the point is, what a deal. What a deal. Eternal life, joy unspeakable, full of glory. The kingdom of God at your hand. The Holy Spirit living in you. And God, the energy and the power of the Holy Ghost going, you can't afford it. You couldn't buy it if you wanted to. But if you'll just let it go. I'm not saying you have to sell everything. I'm saying your heart needs to be on him and not your stuff. And we let go. God, one man said, you need to hold on to your things loosely with open hands. God, whatever, take it. Amen? I pray that every day. God doesn't answer it, but I'm. I can't help myself. Woo! Last scripture, John 15, 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. These two parables also teach us two ways you come to salvation. Two ways to come to the kingdom, real quick. Here it is. Some people stumble into it. They just happen to find $10 million. And then others search the pearl until they find it. You're probably one of those two. If you're one of those people that was kind of born saved, you kind of stumbled into it. Some of you just, you know, it just happened. You got saved. Some of us, the rest of us, were searching for it, trying to find something. That was me. I don't know where you are, but that was me. I was kind of searching for it. I knew being a Catholic wasn't it. There was just, I don't want to get into it. But I knew that wasn't it. Because basically, you got a minute? Basically, you get to heaven by doing good works. And you got to get enough of them. And then I thought, well, if I were God, where would I draw the line? I mean, you got Mother Teresa. Okay, Mother, you're at the head of the line. You have sacrificed your entire life. You've given to the poor. I mean, you are amazing. There's no doubt you're going to heaven. Woo! Go on in there. And then you got Adolf Hitler. Okay. Evil man. Bad man. Bad man. No good works. You're going to hell. Easy. But then there's you and I in the middle. Amen. And at some point, God has to draw a line. And wouldn't it be sad if I were in the line and the head deacon was right behind me and God said, I'm sorry, Jesse, I got to draw the line somewhere. And pastor here gave $23 more than you did. That's really the only difference. How many of you, with billions of people, there's just a shade difference, right, between people. And he says, yeah, I got to draw the line somewhere. And I'm drawing it right here. That's so sad, Jesse. That's sad. Now, you're going to do more than cry. It's not like dropping a lollipop. This is big stuff here. That's what got me. I thought, this isn't fair. You can't base it on how good you are. Besides, and I didn't really even know this, but in the scriptures it says, there's none that does good. Nobody measures up. Nobody's good enough, because one sin will keep you out. God can't allow sin to live in his presence. Come on. So that means none of us are good enough. I didn't even know that. But I thought, that's so unfair. And I searched for God. You know, I figured if I got high enough, I would see God. I already told you, one day I saw the toilet breathing. That wasn't God. No, that's nothing there. Thank God. Yeah. I had some trips. Been on many journeys. And the thing about drugs is it does kind of hype you spiritually. I mean, you begin to think you see God and that. But I even kind of studied the Eastern religions a little bit. I thought, oh, well, they know what they're talking about. These Catholics, they know what they're talking about. So, I looked into that. I was searching, basically for truth. I wasn't trying to get to heaven, but just what's truth, right? What is truth? What is it? And I looked at this and I looked at that. But deep down in my heart, I always knew there really is a God and there really is a devil. You know, I remember I'd be walking the streets and there'd be a church over here. And I've done this several times, and I would not walk right past the church. I would cross the street and walk over this way to make sure. I didn't want to get close. Yeah, I knew there was a devil. And sometimes you get into all this devil worship, and I go, no, we're not. There really is a devil. I don't think I want to worship him. But I don't want to worship God either. One of these days, I'm going to figure it out. And then one day, someone explained to me the plan of salvation. And they said, he said, listen, Bruce, listen. Nobody's good enough to get to heaven. But the whole plan of salvation is there's a price to be paid for all sin, right? There are consequences to sin. The reason Jesus died was he paid the consequences of your sin. It's like going to court and you're guilty and someone else comes and says, I'll serve his time. Let him go. Jesus served our time. Died for our sins. And all we got to do is accept that. Ask for forgiveness. Like Jesus said, go and sin no more, right? You're not free to keep sinning. But if you do, he has to forgive you. I mean, he told them 70 times 7, so I think he's bound to his own promise. But don't test him. Don't be weird. When you get saved, you don't just get power to go to heaven. The purpose of salvation is to give you power over sin. You don't have that power before you're saved, but after you're saved, you have power. Come on. You have power to overcome sin. Do you exercise your power. Woo! Glory to God! Glad I jumped around at the end of the sermon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Power over sin. Power over sin. And when I realized that, I was overseas. I was in Athens, Greece, not Athens, Ohio, or Georgia, or wherever. And I remember hearing that there was some Baptist missionary there in Athens. By the way, it's against the law to proselytize people in Greece, against the law. So he had a little church in his home. And I heard a bunch of guys were going. I didn't know any of them, but I heard about this, so I went with them. We were in a little living room, you know, with a couple rows of chairs, maybe 30 guys in there. And they shared the gospel. I didn't go to an altar and people get around me and pray. But they, while they were praying and standing, I just got up, turned around in my seat, knelt down real quiet. Nobody knew. And I said, I remember saying this, "Lord, I have served the devil with all my might. And if you'll save me, I'll serve you with all my might like I served the enemy." I remember praying that prayer. And I kept that promise to this day. Come on. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. You probably prayed something a lot like that. And I never went back, and I never changed my mind. And I've been serving him ever since. And I think I got the better part of the deal. Amen. Amen. I got saved that day. Nobody knew it. Nobody counted me on their little, "Oh, there, I got another one saved." No one even knew I got saved, but I knew it. God knew it, and that changed me forever. God is good. Let me tell you, so if you're not saved, if you're not, or you've fallen back, listen, God's gunning for you. He's setting you up. And maybe you are saved. Let me tell you something else. God is setting you up for greater things. Yes, he is. Before I got saved, just a little bit before I got saved, I was on board the ship. And I heard about this program the U.S. Navy had where if you turn yourself in and list all the drugs that you've done, blah, 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 and you turn yourself in, they'll forgive all that. But you have to go into counseling and therapy. And we were in Athens at the time, and there was a group meeting there, you know, with the drug counselors and all that stuff. And I said, and I didn't want to do it. I don't know why I did it. There's something in me said, "You need to do this." I ain't going to do this. I'm having fun. There are more drugs on that ship than there was in my hometown. I mean, I don't want to do this. But something in me kept saying, "Do it." All right. So I turned myself in. I filled that sheet out. "You got to list all your drugs." I said, "Can I use the backside?" I wasn't addicted to anything. That's what they say. And but there was a lot. I experimented. The very next day, church, police agents from NIS, that's the Navy Intelligence Service, flew all the way from Chicago to Rome to pick me up. Someone got busted and squealed on me. I was doing a little dealing. I had to sport my habit. Don't judge me. Thank you. Thank you. But you can imagine they flew all the way. They didn't make a phone call and say, hey, arrest this guy. They're saying, we're coming to get him. And they flew all the way, and they got to the ship and said, we're here to arrest ship serviceman, first class Bruce Phillippe. For what? For drugs. And they said, well, sorry, but he signed that agreement yesterday, and you can't touch him. I signed it the day before. I didn't know Jesus, but Jesus knew me. Come on and shout hallelujah. I tell you, God is good. And that started a 53-year journey. So if you'll stay with me another hour, I'll share the next story. Amen. How many of you got some stories? Ah, God is so good. Remember your story. Share your stories. That's what people want to hear. They don't want lectures. They don't want me browbeating them. Amen. They don't want you walking around with your big family Bible. Here, take the word. Just, you say, I don't know what to say. I don't know. Yeah, you do. Tell your story. Amen. It's real. They can fight with your doctrine, but they can't fight with your story. It's your story. Amen. They can't fight your story. It is what it is. They can believe it or not believe it, but they can't dispute it. It's your story. Amen. So share your story. Amen. God. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the story. Thank you for your story. Thank you for the grace you've given us. Thank you for the testimony we have, because it's all about you, and you have made a way. And we praise you and bless you and adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Woo. You know, just look at the word history, and you got his story. I don't know if that's an accident or what. But nothing, nobody has influenced this world more than Jesus Christ. What is it, 7 billion Christians in the world now? And they're all brothers and sisters. And we have that hope. Praise God. Come to the tables. If you need prayer, come to the altar. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Amen. All my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so